as I said previously, I was working for this company that had two bosses, two guys that run the company. And eventually what happened is that these two bosses had a falling out. They had a disagreement, they had a beef, they fell out, and one of them decided to leave the company. He sold his shares, left the company. And that was the cool boss. It's always the way, innit? So I was left with the prick boss. Now, previously, you know, there was some tension between me and the prick boss, but the cool boss would always mediate any issues between us. You know what I mean? Like, if the prick boss was acting funny and, you know, not giving me the shifts that I wanted, you know, the cool boss would step in and he would sort it all out and make sure that I was happy. You get what I'm saying? So when the cool boss left and I was left, you know, and it was just the prick boss running the show, things started changing. You know, he started acting like even more of a prick than he was before. The main thing he started trying to do was he started trying to pressure me to work weekends, even though we had agreed from the very beginning that I would not work weekends. He employed me on that basis. I negotiated the terms of my employment to make sure that I would not work weekends. So now this fool was trying to go back on his agreement. And, you know, he started off by saying, look, man, we could really use you on a weekend. You know, we could really use you this weekend. It's going to be so busy. Can you work for me? Now, I used to do weekends now and again. Yeah, when I chose to. You know, that's how it was. That's the way they employed me. When I chose to do a weekend, I would ask for a weekend. But normally, as a rule, I wouldn't work. I didn't work weekends. But he started asking me to do weekends all the time. You know what I mean? Saying, we're going to be busy. We need you, this, that, and the other. And I was like, you know what? I don't really want to do weekends. This is what I was thinking in my head. I don't want to start doing weekends, because once I start doing them, then, you know, I didn't have a written contract with the company. You understand? It was just all a verbal agreement. So the moment I start working weekends, he's going to try and take liberties. You understand? So I thought, nah, man, just don't do no weekends from now on. You get what I'm saying? Not even voluntarily, because the guy is going to try and take the piss. So I just stood my ground. I was like, I ain't working weekends. I ain't working weekends, you know? And he was telling me, look, you know, some of the guys are being funny and they're saying, you know, how come you don't have to work weekends and they do have to work weekends? You know what I mean? It's not fair. And I'm like, look, man, it's not my problem. These are the terms that you employed me on, and that's that. So at the time, I was working between Monday and Friday evenings at this very, very nice, club. And it was quite a big club. Didn't really get much trouble there. You know, there was trouble now and again, but nothing serious, nothing major. And the managers were not cheapskates. Yeah, the managers that ran the place would always pay, you know, for the correct amount of security. They would never try to cut corners. They understood that the security of the staff and, you know, the patrons in the venue is of the utmost importance. So, and obviously the security, you know, the bouncers themselves. So they made sure there was always a big security team working in there when the place was busy. You know, I was cool working there, man. You know what I mean? It was all going well. I was working out, you know, my weeknights. And it was all good. But anyway, one day, this prick boss calls me up and he tells me that he's gonna have to take me off this venue. And I'm like, what? I've been working here for ages now. Like, why are you taking me off? He's like, look, the managers are saying that they want some continuity in the security. They don't want someone that works during the week and don't work the weekends, because there might be certain individuals that get barred on the weekend and they come back during the week. And if you are not working on the weekend, you wouldn't recognize who it is. So the managers don't like that. They want some continuity. And I'm like, man, this guy is talking shit. This guy's talking shit, man. He's trying to fuck me around. He's trying to mess me about because I won't do what he wants me to do. Blatantly, that's what he's doing. So he told me, yeah, I'm going to have to send you somewhere else now. Yeah, I'm going to have to start sending you to other places. So I just had to bite the bullet. I was like, yeah, whatever. So the first place he sent me, I couldn't believe it. The first place he sent me was to a pub. It was a couple nights a week, and he was sending me to this pub, which was near an area called Eltham in South London. And Eltham is notorious for being a racist area. Over the years, black people are being killed there and attacked, Asian people being killed and attacked there. It's a notoriously racist area. Apparently it's not as bad now as it used to be. I don't go there. You understand? I still do not go there. But you know, back in the days it was bad, you know. If you were not white and you were going to Eltham, like you might have some issues, especially after dark. So he started sending me down to this pub there, and I was working with some Australian guy, some short little Australian guy who was annoying. You get me? So he started sending me to work down there at this pub, and it was just two of us, you know, working the door. One of the nights was like karaoke night or something. It got quite busy, this, that, and the other. The first few times I worked there, it was cool. There was no incidents, there was no trouble. You get me? It was all right. I felt tense though, don't get it twisted. You know, some of the looks I was getting was funny, and you know what I mean? I could tell there was tension between me and a lot of the people that were coming in the place and just people in the area. You know what I mean? I just get some funny looks when I was there. I didn't feel safe at all. So I was already straight away telling the guy, look, this is some racist area. Like, you can't keep on sending me down there. And he's like, look, you know, we ain't got nowhere else for you at the moment. So you're going to have to keep working there for now. And I'll send you to, you know, a few other places to fill in when people are taking time off. So, like I said, it was going all right, even though I didn't feel safe and I didn't feel comfortable there. But one of the places I was also being sent to was the same bar where I got into a fight with this guy and his girlfriend burned me in the face with a cigarette. That place. I started getting sent back to that place. And that place was, you know, a little club. Normally it's okay in there, you know what I mean? It's normally okay. It's down like a little side road off the main road, this club. And I was working there again one night. I think it was probably a Thursday night, maybe a Thursday or Friday night. I was working there and with Company, yeah. Because they used to call us Misery and Company. I was Misery, and the main guy who was the head bouncer there, you know, they called him Company. He was, like I say, a pretty big guy, like 6'4", maybe 6'3", 6'4", pretty big guy. This particular night, it was a very busy night, extremely busy. Like, literally, the place was packed out. It was crazy in there, you know what I mean? You could barely move. The place was full of smoke. When you go in there, your eyes would be stinging from the smoke. And that's how packed it was. Music was pumping. It was just jumping off that night. And it was me, Company, and there was another guy in there from Liverpool called Chameleon. Yeah, I'd never met him before this night, but Company told me, yeah, this guy's called Chameleon. He'll be working upstairs on the dance floor upstairs. And I'm like, Chameleon? Who the hell's Chameleon? And he's like, no, he's just some guy from Liverpool. I'm like, why do they call him Chameleon? And he said, they call him Chameleon because whenever there's trouble, he just blends into the background. This guy was a straight coward, apparently. Like, anytime there's trouble, the guy just disappears, just blends into the background somewhere like a chameleon. So they sent him to work with us that night, to work upstairs. Obviously, he couldn't work on the door because he's too much of a pussy, you know, to deal with the confrontations at the door and stuff like that. So they put him upstairs, you know, to oversee the dance floor upstairs. And really and truly, the place, I think the place had about a capacity of about 400 people, 300-400 people. I don't know, it wasn't that big. But even so, for three bouncers to handle that much people is crazy. In fact, it was illegal. But the way that the manager got around it, because there was basically a husband and wife that used to manage the place. The husband was hardly ever there. It was mainly the wife that was managing the place. And the way that they would cut corners on security is that the husband and wife both got themselves security licenses. So that if the local council came round and said, how many bouncers have you got working tonight? The woman, the manager, could say, oh, I'm security. Because obviously you have to have a certain amount of security for however much people are in your venue. Anyway, it was a packed out night. There was me and Company on the front door. And Chameleon was upstairs, you get me? We were all linked up with radios and everything, you know, checking on Chameleon, babysitting him. You get me? Just in case you know, someone looks at him the wrong way by accident. You know, someone's probably looking at someone behind him while he thinks we're looking at him. He'll probably radio up, you know what I mean, and start crying like a bitch. Radio for help. So anyway, we're on the front door now. It's ram-packed. And it was just one of them nights where you could sense there was tension. For some reason, you could sense there was tension. Like, some nights it will be busy and everyone's happy. Yeah, you walk around on the inside and you can just tell everyone's happy. Everyone's buzzing. It's cool. But this particular night, you could just sense tension. and there was a group of guys in there, three guys and one girl. I didn't even see them come in, you know what I mean? They might have arrived before I arrived, because the head bouncer company, he starts working before me, and then I would start working like an hour or two after him. You get me? I would join him a bit later when the place starts getting packed. But from when I got there, it was already packed, you know what I mean? I think they probably would have called me and asked me to come in early, because, you know what I mean, sometimes that happens when the place is busier than they expect it to be from early. But I would never come in early anyway, you get me? I would just come at the time I'm supposed to come, same way. So yeah, it was packed. We could sense tension, and you know, as usual, one of the staff came to the front door and they said, look, you know, that group of guys inside, the one with the, you know, the three guys and the girl, like, they're getting a bit rowdy in there, you know, there's a few problems with them, you know, they might be starting a fight. So company gave me the clicker. Yeah, we have these little clickers to click the amount of people coming in and out. I think they're actually lap counters. Yeah, people use them as lap counters. People that run track use them as lap counters. But we use them, you know, bouncers use them to count the amount of people that are coming in or out of a venue. So he gave me the clickers now, and he went inside to go and assess the situation. I think he talked to the group of people and, you know, they said, you know, whatever, you know, we're cool. So whatever. So yeah, company came back out again. He said, I just told the bar staff to keep an eye on them. Yeah, I think this should be okay, but I told the bar staff to keep an eye on them. So a few minutes later, probably, I don't know, half an hour later or something like that, he goes in to check them again, just have a walk around and just check on the group, see if they were behaving themselves. And as he went in again, somehow he got into a confrontation with this particular group. And I don't know whether they was, you know, they felt funny that he was checking up on them or whatever it was, I don't know. But he started getting into a confrontation, into an argument with this group. Yeah, these three guys and one girl. So he gets on the radio and he's like, you know, I might need some help here. So the manager, the female manager, she comes to the front door and she took over, you get me, at the front door. And I went inside to go help him. So I went inside now and I said, you know, what's up? And he's standing, you know, next to these three guys and this one girl. And he said, you know, these guys have got to leave. I'm like, okay, cool. They got to leave. You know, I didn't really question why or anything like that. You know, he's the head bouncer. He said, these guys have got to leave. So I said, okay. So there were three guys. Two of them were like normal sized guys, probably like, you know, 5'11", 5'10", 5'11", slim build, normal sized guys. The other guy was a bit taller. He was about 6'1", and he was with his girlfriend. And he was the one who was being the most irate, was the one that was with his girlfriend. So the place was packed out. It was literally, you know, standing room only. The place was packed out. So I could barely even move that well. So basically, this guy and his girlfriend was on one side of a table. Yeah, and these tables are quite high. These tables come to like just below chest height. For the average guy anyway, just below chest height. They're quite high tables and people put their drinks on them. And he was standing on one side of the table while I was standing on the other side. And it was obviously people, you know, either side of us, the place was packed. So I said to the guy, look, you know, we don't want no trouble. You're just going to have to leave. Company was dealing with the other two guys. I was trying to deal with this guy and his girlfriend. I was saying, listen, you know, you got to leave. Yeah, that's it. We don't want no trouble. We'd just like you to finish your drink and just leave peacefully. And the guy said to me straight, I ain't leaving. And I'm like, oh, man, it's like this already. Oh man, I said, look, we really don't want no trouble. I ain't got no problem with you. If you just leave now, you can come back another time. You get what I'm saying? But right now, it's not cool for you to be in this venue. Like, I'm asking you nicely, I'm being polite, just please leave. And the guy's like, I ain't leaving. You know what I mean? And then he started ignoring me. So I kind of reached round the table and touched him with my arm. And I said, come on, like, you know, we don't need none of this. So I just touched him on his arm to try and usher him out. And as soon as I touched him, like, his arm went up. You get me? Like, he just flung his arm up as if to say, get the fuck off me. And as soon as he did that, I knew it was on. I knew that situation was gonna descend into chaos.
And in situations like that, you have to act quickly and decisively. If you don't act quickly and decisively, you're gonna get hurt. And I ain't trying to get hurt. I'm trying to make my money and go home. I ain't trying to go hospital. or worse. So, in a split second, as soon as his arm went up, I reached across the table. I grabbed him by his shirt and I pulled him clean across the table. Glasses went flying everywhere. They were smashing on the floor. Pulled him right across the table with all my strength. Shocked him, actually. Now he's on the floor in front of me.
And he was kind of like, you know, he was kind of like on his knees, kind of on his side, but on his knees. It was hard to even see exactly how he was propping himself up. But he was at the level as if like he was like on his knees, you know what I mean? But he was trying to get himself up. And I had hold of him. I had a tight grip of him. But what must have happened is that he had one arm wrapped around the table leg. I think it was the table leg. There was actually some pillars in there in that particular bar. You get me? By the bar, there was pillars. And he might have been grabbing one of the pillars, but I think he was grabbing one of the table legs. Yeah. It must have been a very, very heavy table and he was grabbing one of the table legs. So as I was trying to pull him up to get him out, like he wasn't moving. And at this stage, you know, I looked over and one of the guys was trying to attack company with a bottle. There's weapons getting involved now. So I'm thinking, you know, I got to get this guy out quick. We got to sort this situation out as quickly as possible. Obviously, this is all spare of the moment. You know, your adrenaline's going and you have to make snap decisions. So this guy's on the floor. I don't know who the hell could be coming from behind me. I'm just trying to pull him up, but he's not coming. He's got his arm wrapped around something. You get me? I'm trying to pull him up to get him out. So I was like, fuck it. I bit the guy on his face. That's the only part of his body that I was exposed. I just, you know, pulled him close to me and I bit him on his face as hard as I could possibly bite him. And I felt blood in my mouth. You know what I mean? Literally, I cut this guy's face open with my teeth. I felt blood in my mouth. As soon as, you know, he felt the teeth go into his face, he let go of whatever he was holding on to. You know what I mean? Then I managed to drag him outside. Dragged him outside and this guy was so shocked by what I was doing, he had a ninja grip on my clothes. You know what I mean? Obviously, I had the Crombie on. He had a ninja grip. In fact, it was my suit jacket. Yeah, it was my suit jacket, not my Crombie, I think. I think I actually had my Crombie off at this particular point. I just had my suit on. And he grabbed my suit jacket so hard. It was like a ninja grip. So when I took him outside, I tried to throw him down, yeah, on the pavement. But as I tried to throw him down, he nearly pulled me over with him because the grip that he had on my suit jacket was so tight, I nearly literally fell over with him. So he's on his back and I'm leaned over with this guy grabbing, you know, my suit jacket, trying to pull me to the ground with him. And he wouldn't let go. Yeah, what I'm saying? He wouldn't let go. He obviously thought, you know, as soon as he lets go, I'm going to kick him in the head. I'm going to fuck him up. So he wouldn't let go. So I started punching him in the face. Gave him, two, three good smacks in the face. And as I was doing this, his two friends that our company was dealing with, they came out. One of them came out first, actually. He came out and I didn't even see him come out. I just felt some wind fly over the top of my head. And I turned around. Yes, this guy still, you know, got hold of my jacket. I turned around and this guy had just swung a punch over my head. Like he tried, you know, when someone tries to launch a big punch in a street fight, they try to launch a big punch and they miss and they go flying off like 10 feet away when they miss. That's what happened. So the guy had a perfect shot of me from behind. I was leaning over, you know, punching his friend in the face, right, in the street. And he had a perfect shot at the back of my head. This guy fucking missed. This guy missed. And then his other friend came out, you know, company managed to get them out. His other friend came out. He also took a swing at the back of my head and missed. Yeah, at this point, I punched the guy on the floor in the face and he released me. And the second friend who came out, who tried to swing at me, you know, he came at me again. I punched him. He went straight down. And at this point, the guy who was on the floor who I bit in the, you know, bit his face, he got up. And they basically, all three of them crossed the road. The girlfriend, I can't even remember where the girlfriend was, whether she was with them or not. I wasn't even focusing on that. There was obviously, you know, other people coming up and down the road. So at this point, company's outside, I'm outside, you get me? And these guys cross over the road and they're cussing and they're swearing and they're saying this, that, and the other. You know what I mean? Even though we just beat the shit out of them all. I beat the shit out of them anyway. And then they start throwing bottles from the other side of the street. Yeah, I think one of them probably came out with a few bottles or I don't know. And there was probably bottles lying around anyway. You get me? There was quite a few clubs and bars around there. But anyway, they started throwing bottles. throwing bottles at us. And they was walking away, yeah, walking down the street on the other side of the street, walking away and cussing and throwing bottles. And I'm like, wow, you guys are brave. You guys are brave. You got so much mouth from the other side of the street, innit? You got so much mouth and so much bravery from the other side of the street. They're throwing these fucking glass bottles and they're smashing by our feet and shit. So me and company were standing in the doorway so we don't get hit with no glass in the fucking head. You get me? They were smashing just on the floor and stuff like that. So anyway, we're like, whatever. These guys are looking like they're going to walk off. You know what I mean? But one of them, the one who I bit his face, you know, he decided to have one last throw of a bottle. So he threw the bottle. And there was a guy, there was two black guys, young guys, that was walking past the club. They weren't trying to come in, but they were walking past the club at the time. And as he threw this bottle, it landed at the feet of these boys and it smashed by their feet. So, you know, these boys straight away, you know, crossed the road to pursue, you know, the guy that threw the bottle at them. So, you know, the three white guys and these two black guys, you know, had a confrontation. You get me? We're watching this from the other side of the road. They had a confrontation. He's obviously gone over there, started swearing, this, that, and the other. What the fuck you doing? And, you know, it quickly turned into a fight within seconds. And straight away, one of the black boys pulled out a knife. You get me? And he started stabbing the guy who I bit in the face. You get me? He started stabbing him. Now, one of the white boys, he just straight ran off. He was gone like flipping Usain Bolt. He was gone. He didn't want no part of, of the incident, you get me, of the situation. He didn't want no part of it. So he left his friend to get stabbed up. The other friend that was there, yeah, he wasn't trying to do anything physically so much, but he was shouting. He was saying, leave him alone, stop it. Like, you know, we've had enough, you get me? Like, you're going to kill him. So this guy stabbing him, you know, one of the black boys is stabbing the guy who I bit in the face. He's blocking a lot of the stabs with his arms, you know what I mean? But some of them are getting through. Eventually, you know, with all the shouting and stuff like that, and the cars coming down the road, the two boys just ran off, you get me? They left the guy and ran off. The guy who was stabbed, he was still standing on his feet, but there was a lot of blood everywhere, even from our side of the road, which, I mean, we're probably about, how many yards? Maybe 15, 20 yards away from where this is going on. We could see there was a lot of blood, you know what I mean? And the guy was in a bad way. At this point, company, I'd already been on the community radio, contacting the police, contacting the ambulance and all those kind of things, you get me? The police showed up and, you know, they were asking us what happened and, you know, this, that and the other, and did you see the stabbing incident? And obviously I told them I didn't see nothing, you get me? All I know is I kicked some guys out of the club, but I didn't see nothing that happened after that, you know what I mean? I was dealing with customers and all this kind of thing. I don't know what happened to the guy. You know, how he was after the incident, I don't know. But all I know is that the ambulance came, they put him on a stretcher, they took him away. You know what I mean? That's all I know. But whether or not he died or lived or anything like that, I didn't even find out. I don't even know. But yeah, man. So that was it was a pretty wild night.
So this has been Confessions of a Nightclub Bouncer Part 6. Thank you guys for tuning in and being with me here on Patreon. Join me next week for Part 7, where it gets even more wild. Alright, so until next time, it's Hatman, I'm out.